Glory Days, the best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim
on Radio Nova.
Welcome along again, folks. Yeah, Glory Days, PJ and Jim's podcast. How you doing?
How you doing, horse? How's things? How are you is the question of the podcast
today. Are you
today.
Worried about me?
I'm worried about you now, yeah. You were off getting your bloods done and everything yesterday. They were sucking blood out of you.
I was getting a blood test and I failed.
Oh, you failed?
Failed, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
Yeah.
So you always fail a blood test over 50. I think that's just the way it is.
They said to me when it was over, said, sorry, we can't pass you on this occasion. Yeah, you'll have to try again. I don't know what I failed on. I think maybe they were hoping to find an A. An A plus, and I might have been a D or something. Or maybe in my case, an O.
Or a glue.
But it's mad, isn't it? Because do you know something? I never really remembered having blood tests as such.
You don't?
I don't really remember them. They don't, like,
well, that's because you're only in your 50s now. You don't get blood tests for young whippersnappers.
But the weird thing is,
when you were a young lad, barefoot, chasing that hoop down the road, battering it with the stick on, old Grey Mary, what used to be, chasing it up the road, and you know, all those kids were, the teddy boys were on the corner going, all right, Jim, what's it, you know, like back in those days.
That's the weirdest history mashup ever. Some lad singing the old Grey Mare, rolling a stick in bare feet, and Shawaddy Waddy on the corner.
Shawaddy Waddy were there. Hey, Jim, you know, on the corner.
Don't look, mess with those tag of feet.
Yeah. Yeah, they were all getting ready for the, I don't know.
So it's like a weird mix of Huckleberry Finn meets Quadrophenia or something. I don't know what you were doing
there.
Yeah,
well, whatever. Like, you were running down the road, the radio was on. It was like, Hitler has just invaded Poland. And you were doing your thing. And then you were going, thank God that doesn't worry anyone here in Finglason today and everything. And, you know, they didn't give you blood tests then because you were too young and fit and they didn't need to worry about you. You were only in your 30s then.
I'm actually saying that I've actually had more than I thought I did, because your woman was able to say to me, the nurse was able to say, well, last year's ones, and then there was the ones from, I don't know, 2016 or something or whatever. Like,
yeah.
But it's weird. I actually don't. You know what I mean? They don't. It's not something that you have to get them on every six months
because, like, I'm on these tablets.
Are you sure? I wonder sometimes, though, are they putting blood into you?
I think they might.
It out?
I wonder too.
Because they've been at it for so long. I mean,
yeah, I know. I only just am healed up and I'm in the next. I always know the equinoxes are coming because my blood test appointment comes in. Do you know that way?
Yeah.
And it always surprises me how much they take out. That's one thing. I go for a blood test. Like,
what do you mean? They only do one syringe.
Not for you, maybe. They're filling up gallons. They're filling up like coffee cups with me.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, there's definitely something wrong with you.
Ah, no.
Are you sure you're getting a blood test, or are you on dialysis or something?
Hold on a minute.
What's going on with you?
What's
are you getting a transfusion? Is that what you're getting?
Maybe I am. I don't even know. Maybe they're using it for something. Maybe it's an experiment to see how is this person still alive.
That's what I'm saying. Do you go to put it this way, when you go for your blood test, right, do you have to pass through security? And do you go into a lift and it goes down 18 floors and these people in full hazmat suits come out to you? Because that's a giveaway, man. That's a sign.
You're signing, I'm an alien life form. I don't even know. They're just seeing how I'm surviving.
Yeah. We can't let this blood get out into the atmosphere because we don't know what could possibly happen.
But come here, it's not just one syringe when you do your blood test. They give you one needle.
She took one syringe yesterday from
me. And then they put she puts the thing on the top and it fills up and she puts it down. She gets another one, fills it up, puts it down, gets another one, fills it up, puts it down. There's about five of them.
No,
right?
She just took one syringe out of me and then she put about three or four of the vial things. She injected them into the vials or whatever.
What?
Yeah.
Your woman takes about a half a pint or a pint out of me every time I go in. Are you serious?
Maybe it's just a different way of doing the same thing. I don't know.
What are you getting tested for? Everything.
Everything, yeah.
Everything under the sun.
Well, you know, the usual kind of broad whatever they do.
Yeah, I mean, the broad sweep.
I suppose if you wanted to be tested for blooming tetsy fly or something, you'd probably have to specify.
I must have tetsy flies all over me blood. The amount she takes out.
It's like, you know what I mean? If you want specifics, like very specifics, but like if it's the general, you know, liver, kidneys, heart, cholesterol, the cancer one. Unless they're doing you for all sorts, like malaria.
She must see me coming and say, Jesus Christ, give this fella fucking everything because this lad is in a hole. I can't believe he's after walking in. Look at the state of him. Look at the state of him. He looks like a real life walk and talk an onion, this fella. Give him, take his blood and test for absolutely everything under the sun, she must be thinking when she sees me coming in.
Yeah, maybe you have a different kind of...
Yeah.
How long does the paperwork take to fill out?
Just a couple of hours. No, I'm only in them out. I'm literally only in them out. But it's gas, isn't it? When you get your blood test, no matter what.
Do they tie you down or anything?
Well, yeah, just a ball gag. And handcuffs. The usual.
Because the weird thing was yesterday, she asked me, do you have any problems giving blood? In other words, like, is it easy for...
Do you have veins?
To find a vein or whatever. Yeah. And I was like... Well, I don't ever remember there being a problem or anything. You know what I mean? Like, I don't remember them having to call in, like, construction workers or anything to sort of, like, you know, to try and dig
up.
Yeah, yeah. Anybody got a drill? Anybody got it? You know what I mean? So I'm assuming I assume you're the same, are you?
Yeah, that makes me pump me arm a little bit.
The amount of times you give it, they should just leave a permanent tap.
Leave it in there, yeah.
Why don't they leave a tap on your arm?
I don't know. They should do at this stage. And then I could give it to, I could just save up the few points as the week goes on. On the way in.
Yeah.
To be quite honest.
It'd be much easier for you to just have a little quick release thing. You know?
At this stage, yeah.
Like the things that used to be on beach balls.
And I wouldn't mind, only the reason I go and get them is because I'm on these tablets. Because I'm always going to the toilet. You know what I mean? I'm always going to the toilet. I got about 50 wees a day. So it's like there's just a constant. I need taps on everything, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And no matter what happens.
That's very true, actually. Taps would be very good for
taps
you.
Taps would be great, yeah. Mm. I'm like a bat, really. I'm just full of liquid that nobody wants.
The amount of general fluids that you seem to give out is quite extraordinary. Like, you've regular wee factors, and then you've got regular blood.
Regular blood.
Like, you're just a giver, man.
I'm telling you, keeping the country moving. And as well, when you do a blood test, no matter who you are, no matter how healthy you are, no matter what you've been eating, how good you're feeling, what you've been after, if you've been in the gym every day, I don't care who you are. Every time you give blood, you think, this is it now.
Yeah.
This is the fucking bad news.
Yeah.
I've definitely got something. I've got that nidgy fly that Jim was talking about. Or I've got, it's or whatever it's called. I've got the nidgy fly. Oh. I've got some sort. You always think, your body does jump, or your brain does jump into the worst case scenario and starts to think, right, that's it. This is the time she's going to look at me and go, jeepers.
I know, because that's what I'm thinking. Like, if I get a phone call either today or tomorrow or whatever, right, and it's from the GP surgery, and you look at the phone and the name comes up or whatever,
you're going to
straight
panic.
Away, my heart's going to be in my mouth.
And they never
which in itself is a medical condition.
Yeah. And you know what does my head in about doctors? They never start the sentence with how you are, right?
Right.
They always go into the scientific stuff first, right?
Right.
So they never just go, listen, you're totally grand. What's going on is this. Your hydroglycerine levels are up there with your content and nidgy flies, blah, blah, blah. They start with the shit and leave you on a tenterhooks until the end. So they kind of go, right, have a look at your bloods there, Jim. Your hydroglycerine tea tree flies are fine. Gloucester losers are a little high.
Yeah.
And then at the end they go, so basically you're 100% for your age. That, you know, and that's fair age. Like, so they do that. You know, they don't just get straight in at the top with the good news.
Yeah.
They don't do that.
When they do my blood, they have to go back and find the equipment from the day. They have to go to a special laboratory, like the Carlsberg laboratory, where they blow the dust off. Yeah, this'll do. That's what he's used to.
They're going, the last known hairy back mammoth. I'm saying the last known hairy back man. This is terrible. I'm making it out to you're not even human anymore. This has gotten ridiculous at this stage.
Well, wait till we get the results of the blood test. Anyway, listen.
You'll be taking 6 points out of you. They'll be doing the two of us together next time. They're going to say, I don't know what these two yokes are, but I'm glad they're here.
Right, listen, let's give you a few best bits then, right, from during the week. We've got a few bits on the way. There was a few interesting bits, considering we've just been talking about medical considerations. PJ fessed up to a previously unknown medical condition until he revealed it on this very show, that of the jelly sweats, which nobody else has ever had. PJ.
I need a blood test for this.
Also, the GAA was a topic of conversation. Well, to be honest with you, it wasn't really the GAA in a sporting capacity. It's more to do with GAA attire and the rather short shorts that apparently are making a bit of a comeback.
They need to bring this back into the shorts. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
And again, PJ was a bit disconcerted by that returning based on the fact that they no longer have a willy basket.
Yeah. Where do you put everything?
Also, staying with the sporting team, there was a ref who took matters into his own hands. We had a story about during the week. He got a bit extreme with it. This particular referee, when it came to sort of like restoring order,
you wouldn't see it in 1970s GAA. This carry on.
And then there was what PJ referred to as the Woodstock of Ireland, which I don't know how we ended up talking about the Pope.
Oh.
Something to do with Emmanuel Macron.
Something to do with the French president arriving into Dublin during the week, yeah.
Anyway, listen, check it all out. We'll chat to you on the other side.
It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
I kind of felt this morning. You know the way you kind of feel stupid thinking there's traffic when it's 5 o'clock in the morning?
No, you're right, though.
You're driving in, you're thinking, you can't say there's traffic, like, because it's like three cars,
but those that's traffic
three cars
for us.
Are three times the amount of cars you normally see.
It's a 300% increase in what we're used to.
Exactly. So it started. And then we're trying to find out, by the way, as well. Clint was printing off this thing about French President Emmanuel Macron coming today. But we can't get a time. Because I was thinking to myself, like, well, I'm not going to go on about it if it's not going to affect morning traffic. You know, these rolling road closures.
Exactly.
But then he just pointed out that they're very scant on details because obviously that's part of the security setup, isn't it? They can't kind of tell you, listen, he'll be over there and he'll be standing on his own. So if you want to get at him around.
I suppose, yeah, I never thought about it before. But you remember years ago they would do it. They'd go, the president will arrive at 10 minutes past 8 where he will be greeted by the ambassador. And they used to tell you the entire itinerary. I suppose now maybe it's a security thing where they just go, no, he'll be here today.
Yeah.
Mind your own business.
It's a need-to-know basis.
So maybe that is a thing.
I don't know.
That
makes it all the more weird, because you can't, if you were driving, if there's these rolling road closures, then they're literally just going to close the road when they rock up.
Yeah.
That's going to be
annoying.
A pain in the ass, isn't it?
It's annoying.
Stuck there, like, at least if you knew in advance, you could say, right, well, I'm not going that way.
Yeah, I remember when the Pope came. Do you remember when the Pope came a couple of years ago, or last year, whenever it was?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a few years ago now. And I was driving through Finglas, or through Ballymun. Because he must have gone down the Ballymun Road. And I got stuck.
That's right,
stuck.
He did, yeah.
I got stuck on the Ballymun Road. And the person I was in the car with just went, what's going on? It was probably the Pope. And he gone, jeez, can't believe it. I was like, how times have changed. Remember, like, the first time
the
he was
Pope
here.
The Pope arriving was an inconvenience.
He was there.
I tried to get the match.
He was there. What match? I think we were going for a roll in the spa. He's like, oh, jeez, I'm starving. Oh, my God. Yeah.
How long does the Pope normally stay?
Yeah, how long is the Pope? They're closing up the road. I have to wait for the chicken roll. Where's the Pope? I was there going, how times have changed. Like, he was here, a million people.
Yeah.
Went into the Phoenix Park and celebrated and whatever it was.
In the late 70s.
And then there was a baby boom. The population of Ireland changed because of his first visit. And the second visit, it's like, oh, but I'm starving.
What the, you know what I mean? Second, is that true? The Pope inspired a baby boom?
Yeah, the Pope's children, yeah. So, you know the Pope's children thing?
So
there was a whole generation. There was a baby boom. So the Pope arrived, and everybody stayed the night in the field, and then Ireland grew.
People got excited about seeing the Pope. That they just, do you know something, Tony? I'm in great form. Let's go upstairs.
Oh yeah, sure. It was the Irish Woodstock. All I'm saying is 9 months. It was the Irish Woodstock. There was people. There was an awful lot of people in fields getting all excited. And all. There was priests with guitars rocking out.
Yeah, yeah.
Meow. And everybody got really randy. And then 9 months later, there was an awful lot of John Paul's born.
Do you know something? I think I'm going to take off me slip.
There was an awful lot of that. An awful lot of that. And 9 months later, the population changed. And then all these years later after that, then you can't even, you're just giving out, you're being held up with a traffic light because you want a chicken roll.
Speaking of kids, John's been on to say, Jim, my son started first year yesterday. He was in for an hour and has a day's holiday today.
Ah, stop.
You see, now that's the kind of school days you want. That's what I'm talking about.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, I'll do an hour. And then I'll have to have a rest.
Yeah, break me in gently now. Come on. You know, it's been a long break.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
Are you a sweaty Betty? Or are you
a
sergeant?
As a general rule.
Yeah, you know, some people are.
Only with kind of, in the circumstances you'd expect, like exercising or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, not in the gym. I mean, I'm not sort of one of those people who, like, literally just as soon as you stand outside...
Yeah.
Turns into a puddle of water.
We both know one of them.
He will
remain nameless, but we both know one of them. And the poor fella, I feel terrible for him when the sun comes out or it gets warm at all. Because he has to wear...
He has to do the opposite of what other people do.
Yeah.
He actually puts on extra clothes.
He puts on those sleeveless V-neck jumper things over his t-shirt.
Because
he has to hide the patches. On his back and on his arms.
When it's really warm out, he actually puts on extra clothes.
Ah,
to
it's not fair.
It's not.
So he hates the sunny weather, you know.
Yeah. And we can't all be, what's your man's name? Prince Hooja. that doesn't...
Who's Prince Hooja?
Doesn't sweat
at all. Prince Andrew.
Yeah,
and his...
we can't all be him,
what
you know.
A stupid man he is. Stupid stories. Yeah, but there's ways around it, apparently. I never knew this. There's these different products on the market that if you are a bit... if you suffer from the sweats...
You're right.
You know, from the sun now, if it's from trying to give up your two bottles of wine a night or something, I don't know, that's a different thing.
Yeah, or the meat sweats.
The meat sweats. Or the jelly sweats. Do you ever eat loads of jellies and get a sweating after it?
No.
Do you ever get the jelly sweats?
Jelly sweats?
Yeah, if you get a whole load of pick and mix and eat too much of them and you're like,
who eats so much pick and mix that they get into a sweat?
I don't know. I don't know. I've never heard of it. Why did you bring it up? You know who brought that up? It wasn't me anyway. That's all I know.
Oh my God, the jelly sweats.
The jelly sweats. You ever get the jelly sweats? You eat so many jellies, you feel so... you get that feeling.
That was a bit...
And then your brow gets all clammy.
Every time you were brought to the cinema as a kid, your mum would be shouting at you, PJ now, PJ, come on, go easy on them. You'll be sweating again now before you know it. And yeah. The movie hasn't even started.
And you kept the withdrawals off the jellies the next day or later on that night. Someone all sore and your clammy head and everything. Oh, the jelly sweats is a thing.
Wow.
Definitely the jelly sweats
is
a thing.
Right, but for people who get normal sweats...
Yeah, so if you...
Help is at hand.
Oh, yeah, there is help. There's all these products. I've narrowed it down. There's too many to go through, right?
Right.
But did you know there's something called a sweat zapper? It's in a machine that you can actually stick under your arm and it zaps away the sweat. It's known as Iontophoresis is the name of this scientific thing.
I'll remember that.
Yeah, no, it's great. But it's a sweat zapper and they say it works. It does iontophoresis. Yeah, grant. I'm not going to go into that because obviously I haven't a clue how it works. And it doesn't really matter. There's also underarm patches. I never heard of this before. They look like... they look like those chicken fillets that some women put into their bras. Do you know them?
Oh, right, okay.
They look a bit like them, but they're perfectly
but they're
shaped.
Absorbent.
But they're absorbent, and they go under your arm. So if you're wearing a shirt or you have an occasion to go to, it soaks up all the sweat.
Basically, they're the official version of what people used to do for ages, of stuffing a load of toilet roll under their arms.
Yeah, or the pants, the lady pants.
Yeah.
I remember hearing about a fella doing that. He was so embarrassed in work. He had to wear shorts and he tried to use the lady pads, but it didn't really work because the stickiness of it. Right. You can't use it every day. It irritates the skin, apparently. You know,
really?
Yeah, apparently it irritates.
What an insight that is.
Yeah. If you use it like after, you know, 2 weeks or something like this, you get irritation. So there you go. But there's an actual lady, or not a lady one. There's an actual sweat pad one,
right?
That you use
designated
for your
unisex.
Yeah, but once again, the unisex sweat pad for your arm. They do say much like the one with lady pads under his arm. They do say that you shouldn't use it every day because it will. They have the adhesive. It can be a problem.
Right.
You know, if you first. Oh, this is not the story I thought it was going to do. Can I just say that? You know, this is not where I thought it was going
to
go.
Why don't we quickly get to the socks?
Yeah, the silver socks. So if you're one of those people with very, very sweaty feet, you know,
right,
and your feet do smell and all, you don't know. We've all been around those people. The shoe comes off and you're like,
oh,
mother of God,
yeah.
Who left a horse in?
Yeah, you know, that's a nasty.
And that's
the feet thing. I mean, no BO is good.
No BO is good.
Feet BO is awful.
It's the brutal because it's in such a tight enclosed space and let's be honest,
so
feet.
Silver socks. Now,
so silver socks.
Wearing like the bottom part of a knight's armour. You don't walk around in actual silver, do you?
No, I read this first and I thought that. I was like, what do you mean? Like a big silver shoe. You're walking clunking around the place.
Yeah. I assume that's not the case.
No.
You don't have to wear chain mail or anything.
Thankfully, not at all. These are actually deadly oaks and they're not too expensive. Like they're about 12 quid
right.
For two pairs, right?
Yeah.
So if you're wearing them, you're getting a few pairs to be handy getting through them every day. And there's actually silver. Silver apparently kills foot odour is caused by bacteria that live on the feet and silver breaks down that bacteria. So you have this actual silver in the sock so you can, it'll sort of minimise the scent of
right.
The foot.
So there has to be actual silver. You can't just put on a pair of sparkly Michael Jackson socks and think that that's going to kind of get you away with it.
No, you can't just pour glitter into your shoe. And as well, can you imagine that? Not only you take off the shoe and everyone gets a smell, but there's suddenly the whole room is silver as well.
It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
But listen, God. One of the things about sport, no matter what sport it is, right, was always the treatment of referees.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, certain sports like rugby has huge respect for referees. Football, soccer in particular, like, generally speaking, the refs take a fierce amount
take
of abuse.
Take an awful lot of abuse. They do. There's no doubt about it.
It's about time that they fought back. Although, you do have to do these things in moderation.
Within reason. Within reason, right? So, last Sunday, in a place called Paul's Valley in Oklahoma, there was a football match on. Now, not American football, you know.
Yeah.
Football. The referee gave one of the players a red card. There you go, red card, whatever.
Get off.
Now, as you have pointed out, that always ends in a row of some description. Or in a, whatever the mean, what are you talking about? You need to get your spec savers on, or whatever the situation. I'm going to give you abuse, I want to act outraged. And then his friends got involved, and then, you know, sometimes...
Stuff in the sideline and all that sort of
stuff. Sideline, you boo! Yeah. You don't know what you're doing! You
and know, then there's the old handbags. Armbags, I was going to say.
The old armbags, yeah, might as well.
Handbags there with the old, you know, pushing and shoving players, like, you know, you shut up, you don't know what you didn't say it right.
And that's exactly what happened. They started pushing and shoving each other, and then it was like, I'm going to have a piece of him, another, stand back, don't be touching anyone else. And the referee thought, I need to calm the situation down.
Right.
So he went to his car, and he pulled out a gun and started firing it.
Do not... I shouldn't have laughed there. Don't do that. That's very bad. Don't ever do that. If you're an amateur referee doing the under 10s anywhere, don't ever, ever do that.
Don't be shooting guns at anyone at any time. That is the best idea. And he started shooting it in the air and came back, which meant the referee was then ejected from the stadium, funny enough.
Wow, really?
And not only ejected, but he was driving down the road after the match had been abandoned. And he was, of course, arrested, and he was put in custody while investigating what the hell happened.
America and guns, man.
And what
America
is going?
America and guns.
I know, and yet you still get the whole guns don't kill people. People kill people. That gun did not jump out of the gun
on its own. Yeah,
yeah, you know.
But that is so mad. Like, I mean, you can't go. You can't be going that far. As much as you might want to support referees, arming them would not be the way to go.
I know, it's a mad idea. But what was thinking? What was this wild man
How
thinking?
How bad must the fracas have been that he decided, there's only one thing for this. I'm going over to the back of my car and whipping out me shotgun.
This is a situation for a Glock. All I can think about as a referee to calm this situation down is to start shooting randomly into the air over their heads. Yeah,
I mean, like,
it's insane.
God.
It's mad.
Yeah, we don't need to go down that road. You know, you don't want to see a ref coming out looking like he's a member of a SWAT team.
No.
You know, with like belts with pepper spray and, you know, and batons.
And a balaclava,
I
know.
Yeah. And like, yeah, exactly. A protective helmet and all that sort of, you know, you don't want sport to go that route.
No, normally when a ref overreacts, he just gives too many cards, you know.
It's just so extraordinary, the difference in the sport, though. Like, there's a situation where the ref resorted to a gun down with that sort of thing. And yet in rugby, you get these monsters, these like almost 8 foot high humans that weigh 25 stone, and some little ref will say to him, go back there and shut up and don't speak, and sorry sir, and but he'll wander off. They're so respectful.
That's what I don't get. That's the other extreme. There's a happy medium between shooting and, you know, buying the ref a panini at half time to say your apologies. There has to be a happy in medium there, you know what I mean?
Could you please give €300 Brown Thomas voucher to the referee with a note that says, my apologies for the lip.
Yes,
thank you very much.
Yes.
You know that? Yeah. That it's the other way. That's
I didn't mean to say, ref.
Ah, here, ref. Give the ref a jersey, I said. I'm absolutely mortified with my behaviour.
I will never show my face in the club again.
Please tell the referee to meet me at Rowley's Bistro for an all-included everything. At 7 o'clock, so I can get rid of my shame.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
Paddy in Talla has been on PJ today. We were talking about that story of the guy who got caught up the Swedish mountain.
Yeah.
And was only wearing a pair of shorts. And, okay, we embellished it a bit and suspected it might have been a GAA jersey.
We were messing, as
a T-shirt. But anyway, Paddy from Talla was on to say, talking about the Irish lad getting stranded on the top of the mountain, possibly wearing a GAA jersey, I've noticed a big increase in the wearing of GAA club togs shorts.
Yes.
In the Dublin area, usually on cyclists
I've seen a lot of it around, actually.
Or joggers, and mainly around the Dublin 6 area.
Well, I don't know about Dublin 6, but I've noticed it on the other side of the city. I've noticed it north side for sure.
Also very noticeable in Waterford last week, something brought on by the Normal People TV programme last year when wearing club shorts became a fashion statement. GAA shorts are much shorter than their soccer counterpart, says Paddy and Tala. That's very true.
I'm always baffled with the shorts now, to be honest. Remember, like, something happened with shorts. You remember you used to buy them and there was a little willy basket in them?
Yes.
Where the willy basket is gone.
Well, not when it depends on the type of short. Like, I mean, if
on
I
the
buy,
GAA shorts,
oh, on
it's
the
gone.
Oh, right, okay.
It's gone out of them. There used to be a little willy basket. You just put
and
them
that's
on.
And very dangerous with short shorts to not have
a willy basket.
Yeah.
So, what do you do? What sort of underpants do you wear with a GAA shorts?
Oh, because I assume you'd have to wear a brief, PJ.
A brief,
I assume.
But sure, the whole shorts are supposed to be brief. I thought that was the whole point. They were supposed to, you know. Now all of a sudden you're wearing layers and everything.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure
maybe
what you do.
Like, some lads wear those kind of Under Armour lycra things underneath shorts. Not in the GAA, obviously, because real men.
They're real men. Yeah. They just let it all hang out.
Let the
old onion bag fly around the place.
Everything's a potential, you know, benefit. Whatever you need to use. Hit them with a hurl. Hit them with your willy.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes.
Don't come out of the way. Shoulder to shoulder. You know, whatever it takes.
Sligo says an increase in short shorts.
100%. The GAA
I don't
shorts.
Know if that's a good thing. I'm not sure about that now.
I think it's a good thing. I actually have a pair of GAA, Dublin GAA shorts at home.
Right.
I'd love to wear them, but I've no idea how to do it because the willy basket has been removed. It used to be a place you put your vegetables in and you carried it around. And now with these new shorts, there's no willy basket. So it's kind of like everything's a bit. And I'm not
and
going
to. Would you feel, you know, unmanly if you had to wear briefs?
I would indeed, yeah. Imagine. Briefs, Jim.
Yeah, it'd be like wearing, you know, pudgy smuggler type speedos.
Buying shorts to wear under your shorts. Sure, that's like a male brassiere.
It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
There you go, folks. Some of the best bits from during the week on Morning Glory. Thanks so much for hanging out with us on the podcast today. Have you any great plans for your sort of like... Well, depending on when people are listening to this, it might be your weekend ahead, it might be your week ahead.
I think I need a blood test now. Anyway, that's a start. I think I need to get checked out after this podcast. I've made myself extraordinarily paranoid about my bodily functions. But other than that, no. I do, actually. The big game is on. The Dublin Derby.
Bows
and Rovers in the Cup is on. So, yeah, I want to see that. And, of course...
Just as a matter of interest, right? Like, when you were younger, did you have medical issues? Well, you know the way you get people, and they refer to somebody's a sickly child.
Yes, no,
he was a very sickly child.
No, yeah, the kids who were allowed to go to the toilet in school without putting their hand up. That was kids.
What
remember
do you
them?
Mean? You had to put your hand up to go to the toilet.
No, there was always the one kid, the fella who didn't have to because there was, you know.
Oh, he had issues.
There was always that one kid who was allowed to just get up and leave. And everyone was going, I was here now. And the teacher was, shut up and mind your own business.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was always that one kid.
That was a medical thing.
Well, God, nobody knows. He got permission. His ma wrote a letter for something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Getting a letter from your ma did everything back then.
That's true.
In the 80s, you didn't even need a driving lessons. You just needed a driving license. Just a letter from your ma. And if the guard showed you, just showed him the letter. And the guard would go, oh, yeah, no.
Yeah.
He's got a letter from his ma.
You get a mortgage like that.
Get a mortgage. Yeah,
you walk into a bank with a letter from your ma.
Yeah, please.
Say that he's good for it. I'll make sure he pays.
There you go, a letter from your ma. Grant, oh, fair. Jesus, we didn't realise that. You didn't have to queue or anything. Should have just come up. You should have got a letter to skip the queue. No problem. That's the way.
That's true, isn't it? A letter from your ma did everything
when
you were a kid.
Everything, yeah.
There's nothing a letter from your ma couldn't get you out of.
And even you could bring your dad in. You can bring your dad into the school.
Yeah.
And your dad go, yeah, he just wants to go to the toilet every day and putting his hand up. He's not feeling well. And they go, can we just ring our wife and check? Do we think his dad's not what he's talking about?
Yeah.
Ring the man. Find out what's actually going on.
Yeah.
You'll get the details.
Because they'd know, basically, that your dad was there and he himself didn't know what was going on. You'd have said to him, well, you have to go. What do you mean I have to go in? You have to go in and just say to them that you know what I mean? I have to go to the toilet a lot.
Yeah, your dad'd only be half listening.
What,
he'd be,
do you?
He'd be there going, hand up to the toilet. What? You have to put your hand up to the toilet. And your dad'd be going, what? You have to put your hand up. And then you go in and you'd be there. So my dad wants to tell you something. The teacher go, what? And your dad put his hand up and go, can I go to the toilet? And you're like, no, that's not what we were talking about. You go, I don't want to fucking into here. Why didn't you ask your mother to do this? Yeah. Jesus.
It was always a lot easier. Just get a letter from your man. Right, on that bombshell, folks, thanks a million for hanging out with us on Glory Days. I'm sure, looking, depending on what day this is you're listening to it, we'll talk to you weekdays, 6 to 10, of course, on Radio Nova on Morning Glory.
You've been listening to Glory Days, the best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays, 6 to 10, on FM, online at nova.ie, or on the Nova app.